This is from the Golden Rule Project, which you can find with just a little bit of Google sleuthing. We are part of the earth, and the earth is part of us, said Chief Seattle. Hurt not others in ways that you yourself would find hurtful, said Buddha. Do unto all men as you would wish to have done unto you, and reject for others what you would reject for yourself. That's from Islamic teaching. Walk a mile in another man's shoes before you pass judgment, from the teaching of the agnostics. Not sure who that is, but of the agnostics. There's a comedy version of this one too. Do you remember Deep Thoughts, the Phil Hartman character played by the name of Jack Handy on Saturday Night Live? It's terrific. I mean, nobody remembers this. It's so good. Anyway, he had a great one. Jack Handy did. He said, before you insult a man, walk a mile in his shoes. That way, you'll be a mile away when he gets offended, and you'll have his shoes. That's pretty good, isn't it? But there were a couple good funny ones, and the list goes on and on, including what we hear today in Jesus' sermon on the plain. Do to others as you would have them do to you. The Golden Rule. It's an incredible ethic, isn't it? This idea that you would only treat someone else as the way you would want to be treated. Sounds pretty good. Now, for so many people, though, it sounds so good that they hold on to this as the lifeline for everything. You all have met people like this, and you may even think this for yourself. It's like, I don't know about all that religious stuff, but I do know this. If I treat people the way I want to be treated, things will work out. Commonly referred to as karma is another way to think about that, right? And the idea goes, you know, you're not sort of, you're not convinced of the miracles, in other words, but you are convinced that kindness and love of neighbor will work. And it's not the worst thing to believe, okay? Just hear that out. It's not the worst thing to believe if you go about life just trying to be like Ted Lasso and just be nice to people. It works. We're trying to teach our kids that. You know, you get away with stuff if you're nice to people. I know that firsthand. Throughout all of school, if you're nice and say, yes, sir, look people in the eye, you can get away with a lot of things. And being nice is something that we all crave. For the last few months, I've been going to Hustle Haven. Hustle Haven is a cycle and yoga studio in downtown Roanoke. Most mornings, two or three mornings a week, I head off at 5:45 for my cycle class. Sometimes I do the yoga, but many times I do the cycle, which is full of cardio and sort of aerobics. And I'm sure none of this is a surprise to you because you've noticed my body. But if, in case you haven't, now I'm bragging, so you're going to have to compliment me on, don't you look less tight and less pizza necky in the collar? But anyway, I go to Hustle Haven. I go four or five times a week. You know, many times during in the early mornings, but I go else times too. Ashley and I have started doing it on Saturday. And there's one thing that just totally struck me about Hustle Haven. I was talking to Candace and Raquel, two of the instructors, one day, and I go, "You all are what church should be." Now they have no idea I'm a minister. No idea. And here's why I said that. Because they're so nice. There's no scorecards. It's a gym, but you don't get on the bike and no one's saying, go faster. Nobody's telling you to dig in a little harder or do a little more. It's just like, we're so happy you're here. We're so happy you're here. And then they get to know your name. And they get to know like what kind of potion you like, which is some weird drink with like a bunch of spices in it. It's really tasty. I get this, it's called a sunrise macchiato. Anyway, it's not like the Starbucks things, but they remember, they're like, would you like your regular drink today? It's sort of like when you see people in church be like, are you going to sit in your regular pew? I mean, they just know you. And isn't that nice? Don't we just want that in life? It's how we all want to be treated. It's living out the Golden Rule. And I think it also, on a sort of side commentary to riff off my friend David Zoll's idea of seculosity, I think when gyms do that, we understand why gym memberships are going up, church memberships are going down, don't we? So let's insert sermon point number one here. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount or the Sermon on the Plain is not trying, he's not trying to lay down another moral or ethical code. Okay? As nice as it is to say, let's all be nice, Jesus is after more than that. Jesus' point is more. Jesus is in fact raising the nice bar, right? To the nth degree. He's raising it so far that we're left with nothing else but to cry, Abba, Father, have mercy on me, a sinner. Notice that. Notice all the ins and outs. Love your enemies. If somebody wants your jacket, give them your shirt. As much as I love Hustle Haven, I don't think they're that nice. Okay? And they're nice. But if I stood up or showed up late to the class or did something else, I'd break the rules. Right? And there's no grace behind that. Jesus answers both the Sermon on the Mount and the Sermon on the Plain in his conversation with the disciples. We didn't hear this today, but it's later in the text. He says, if you want to follow these rules, just be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. But Jesus is not trying to exhort us to more self-salvation projects. Okay, he's not trying to do that. Even though we can read it that way, it's not the goal. Because let's play it out in our own lives. How many of you all follow the golden rule? All the way to the nth degree. Raise your hands. It's okay. We got some time. Play it all the way out. All right, I'm just going to use an example. Let's just say you and your spouse or you and your siblings or you and a child or you and a parent or anybody in a close relationship with you. Think about that. Anybody in your immediate sort of nuclear orbit, you all have that thing that causes that thing that happens every now and then, right? You all have something that causes a fight, don't you? And when those fights occur, it creates that sort of cycle. In that Vince Vaughn, Jennifer Aniston movie, The Breakup, which probably many of you haven't seen, it's not very good, but they show a great example of that in the first 5 minutes, right? They sort of show a montage of their different fights. And all you gotta do is just think about a fight that you've had with somebody that you love reoccurring, maybe every Thanksgiving dinner, maybe every time blank happens. We all have those, okay? It's all that one. It sort of sucks us in, right? And then all of a sudden we're in this washing machine of tit for tat. We can't just absorb those fights, can we? Living out the golden rule says every time that one thing happens, your one response will be, okay, hit me with another. Says nobody ever, unless they're lying, okay? It's not possible. It's not humanly possible. And even just talking about it, I don't know about for you, but it makes me nervous to think that I'm not going to retaliate, even if it's nice. You know, you can retaliate with nice. I'm so glad you're here. You know, or what's the Southern thing? Bless your heart. Right? That's really a way to say something, even though I'll push the edge, would be way too inappropriate to say in a pulpit. Right? We know this. So too often when churches, when we think about this golden rule, we just put it onto ourselves. We set ourselves up for total failure. We set the gospel up for not being the gospel, for being more law. Go out and do. Go out and be good. Try that. Because the gospel is the opposite. The golden rule is not the gospel. Robert Capon writes, ethics tell you what you ought and ought not to do in order to be recognizably human. Christianity tells you about a God who takes unrecognizable and unacceptable human beings and accepts them in Jesus, whether or not they happen to have done what they ought to have done. Jesus' acceptance, in other words, is not predicated upon anything that we have done at all. It's 100% predicated upon what He has done for us. The writer and pastor, Jason Michelli, comments about the golden rule. All religions, as I started off today, have a golden rule, right? But what makes Christianity unique, what makes us different from Hustle Haven, and what makes us even, in fact, opposite from a religion, is the fact that the news is that in your moral failures, in your sins, in your failures to follow the golden rule, another one has stepped in and done it for you. You're simply receptacles of God's grace. Boom, in other words, your relationship with Jesus is not predicated on any of your behaviors or on any of your actions. It's 100% because of what He's done. As St. Paul says, sermon point number two, I'm trying the Presbyterian thing today as an example. Sermon point number two, we are justified apart from our works. Full stop. No ifs, ands, or buts or addendums to that. You're saved and you're free because of what Jesus did. Robert Barnes, who was an Anglican priest and a 16th century reformer in the time of Cranmer, preached in a sermon that led to him being killed. He preached, "The faith which we have in Christ and His precious blood are alone and sufficient in justifying us before a holy God without the help of any other work." It's really powerful. If you think about taking communion as a remembrance of what Jesus did squarely for you and for me. It's humbling, and it's also freeing at the same time. It's validating and it's accepting. There was a powerful, powerful illustration of this in Wrath of the Super Bowl. Cooper Kupp, if anybody watched the Super Bowl, he was an unbelievable player for the Los Angeles Rams. He's a wide receiver. And he caught the winning touchdown pass and he was named MVP. And after the Super Bowl, they asked him, with all of his achievements and all of his successes, what does he think about? How does he deal with all that? And he responded, "I was validated not because of anything that happened on the field, but because of my worth in God and in my Father. And I'm just so incredibly thankful." Wow! Drop the mic! The guy just won the Super Bowl! Really, he probably did win the Super Bowl for the Rams, along with their defensive star. And his immediate response is, "My validation does not come from anything I've done, but it comes from my Father in heaven." Wow. Sermon point number three. The good news is that we're then free because of this validation. And here is the great paradox. It's the great hidden wisdom of the gospel, if you will, is that you're actually free to be a doormat. You're actually free to try to be really just nice to people. Even though sometimes you won't be. Maybe it's when you're in the car and you're beeping the horn or you're in the grocery store. Wherever your pet peeves are, you know they're out there. Maybe it's with your spouse. Maybe it's your parents. My dad's on Zoom. You know, who knows where it is? But we have them. Almost 5.5 years. We all have them. I know yours too, okay? But that's okay. It just means you're human. It just means you're fully alive and present. And it also means because of the gospel, that you're free maybe some days to say, I really want to respond this way, but I'm not. And some days you might say, nah, 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 nah. Either is okay. It's the gospel. That's the freedom of the gospel, is that all of a sudden, we're free to try to love our neighbors like Jesus loves us. Not because we have to, not because we're keeping score, but because we can. Because it doesn't affect anything. On those bad days when maybe we couldn't be nice, or we couldn't pick up trash, or we couldn't stop for somebody, oh well, it doesn't change anything with God. When you feel that freedom come in, you feel that freedom of the gospel, all of a sudden you can be like the Dutchman, K. Verbejay. I'm sure I butchered his name. I don't know if anybody saw this story. They might have been caught up with the heartbreak in the Olympics of the Russian figure skating, but that's a sermon for a different day about the condemnation of the law, and it's an horrific, horrific thing to witness. But there was a great story that came out of the Olympics, as there always is, with this Dutchman. See, there's rules in speed skating about the inner and outer track. And depending upon where you are in the race, you have to yield towards the other person. So if you're on the inner track and you have to go out, the outer track person has the right of way. And they were in the last 250 meters of the 1,000-meter race this past Friday. And this Dutchman was in first place or second place. He was in medal contention going into the final turn. And he was coming neck and neck with his fiercest competitor. And you could argue that he did not need to yield because he had at least a half a lane on him, or half a length. He yielded. And then when he yielded, the competitor behind him got really close to him because he had to slow down. So then he moved aside again. And the Dutchman, K, went from being in first place to finishing last. Gave it all up. The people that won the medals were like, we've never experienced that kind of kindness. He could have easily just cut in front of us. And the Dutchman responded with, I felt like it would have been dangerous. It would have hurt a potential other racer. I'm disappointed to finish last, but I'm glad I didn't get into a wreck and everybody else finished. Just a little illustration. I don't know if he believes in Jesus or not, but I do know that Jesus does the same thing for us. Lets us go through, whether you want to use the analogy of playing through in golf. Jesus allows us to go in front of him. He covers our sins, blots out our offenses. He gives us freedom to love one another. That's the good news. Amen.